championship on the line right here. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Hello and welcome to 4th and 5, your Longhorn Nation podcast. I'm your host, Will Bazer, and I'm joined alongside by my man DT, Darius Terrell. You guys are listening to the Hornscast channel. It's the Hornscast channel on any podcasting platform out there. Today we have a huge interview with Jackson Jeffcoat, and by a huge, I mean in scope, in length, everything. We go over everything under the sun.
A biopic.
And then after that, we're going to get into a little bit about the 2020 class and ending it out, give you a little bit of a understanding of what Texas is trying to do at three of the major positions they're trying to fill: wide receiver, cornerback, and running back. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
And now on the line, we have lifetime Longhorn, one of the best players to come by in the past decade, Jackson Jeffcoat, on the line. Jackson, how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. I can't complain. It's rainy in Austin, but I'm still in Austin, so it's great.
That's true. I'm right there with you, right down the street. But before we get started with the normal interview type of whatever calls, I want to ask you, Jackson, back when you were, you know, with Darius playing ball, what was one of the funniest stories you can think of about Darius?
You know, that's a good question. Well, I know Darius.
Tell him you don't remember nothing, man. A long time ago.
Yeah, I got to think of something that's appropriate.
All right, I'll let you. We'll come back to that question at the end of the show, and we'll do this instead. So, every Texas football player who comes to Texas has to fill out a sheet of, like, was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 questions?
We're gonna see. You got it in front of you.
Yeah, I do. We're gonna see what you guys remember of that, and if your answers will still be the same. So, for both of you guys ready?
Oh,
let's start off with, what is your nickname?
Mine, Jackson.
Okay.
It's Action Jackson.
All right. Darius?
I'm pretty sure it's got to be DT on there, right?
All right. That was an easy one to start off. You both got it correct.
Okay.
So, during pregame, I like to what?
Listen to music.
Definitely listen to music and probably visualize, like, play out the game in my head first, you know, see it first before, you know, expect it to happen.
Much exactly what y'all wrote.
Okay.
Jackson, you did. I like to listen to music and visualize the game. Darius, visualize the game, making plays, and relax. Favorite channel on the TV?
What?
HGTV.
Yeah, that's what high school Jackson Jeffcoat was watching was HGTV.
Did I really put that?
No.
Oh, come on.
2010, dude. My favorite. You said favorite channel in 2010. I would guess ESPN.
Nah, you put NFL Network and Jackson. You put ESPN.
Okay.
I thought that first.
Here's what we have to start having some fun. I can't believe I watch blank.
Oh, man. Let's think. What was back? High School Musical. I can't believe I watched High School Musical.
All right. So I know I didn't watch High School Musical. I hate musicals, so I know I didn't watch that. 2010. Is it probably like one of them Love and Hip Hop shows or something like that? 2010, like The Bachelor. I didn't watch The Bachelor. It got to be like Love and Hip Hop or something like that, man.
Darius, you were For the Love of Ray J.
That's the same thing. Hey, that's the same thing. See,
and
yeah,
Jackson,
okay.
You did 90210.
Oh, my gosh. I watched it like one time, but I couldn't believe I watched it. You're right.
What were your thoughts on that, on 90210?
Oh, I don't like shows like that. Not at all. I'm just not big into reality TV or drama TV. Not my thing.
All right, next question. What is your favorite movie or TV show?
Let's see, 2010, back then. I think it was still Inception. My favorite movie.
Inception out by 2010?
That came out when we were in college, because I remember seeing it at the IMAX.
It came out when we were in college? I thought it came out right before.
What's the old IMAX in the old little museum? What is that? That's not...
Bob Bullock.
Yeah, Bob Bullock, I saw it in there. We were in college for sure. I remember walking to it.
That movie was great, though.
Yeah. 2010, I don't know. Life? Did I put Life?
No. Jackson, you put Friday Night Lights. Darius, okay. The Game.
Okay. The Game. What the hell? What is The Game?
The show. It's a TV show.
Oh, the show. Oh, man. Dang. Nah, yeah, they stopped showing that a long time ago.
You put show and movie. You got an extra. Your movie was The Wood.
The Wood. Okay, yeah, The Wood. Okay. Yeah.
All right, who's your favorite actor or actress? Who is it today? We're going to switch this up. Who is it today, and we'll see what it was back in 2010.
My favorite... I don't know if it's just off acting skill. I think they're very attractive. Is Sofia Vergara?
Okay.
Hey, you're not wrong, man.
Man, I think I would have put the favorite actress. I think I would have put Halle Berry back then. Favorite actress. Let's go with what's her name? What's Harley Quinn? What's her name?
Margot Robbie.
Yeah, Margot Robbie. I like Margot Robbie.
All right, so
like
for favorite actor or actress, both of y'all put Denzel Washington.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
that makes sense. Denzel is the truth.
He's the truth?
The truth.
So what was your favorite CD?
Oh man.
Favorite CD?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Since no one really gets CDs anymore. Let's think. I bet at that time, did I put like Blueprint, Jay-Z, or
you got that right.
T.I.
Wow.
Yes. Let's go.
The Blueprint. And that was a really good. That was like one of those CDs where there was just not a bad song on it.
Yeah, I remember the Blueprint. No.
And you know what? My dad's from the East Coast, so I was always on East Coast music.
Darius, yours is a little out there.
Out there. All right, help me out. Was it like a hip-hop or was it like an R&B?
I'll give you,
somebody
it's a Drake album.
Drake album? Oh, man. 2010. Was that... what's the one where he's in the robe on the front of the thing? Nothing Was the Same. Was it Nothing Was the Same? Yeah, let's try that.
No. That's a later one.
That's 2013. Okay. Yours is so far
I don't know,
gone.
Man. Help me out. Oh, that was a mixtape, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a mixtape.
Yeah. I definitely,
he made all those mixtapes before he made his album.
Yeah.
His first album.
And around that same
time. We were
time
all on the mixtapes at that time, bro. We were all on
J. Cole,
it.
All that stuff.
What was the song of choice in the locker room around then?
Because
I remember back in high school, ours was Top's Drop.
Nah, it was definitely Lil Wayne. What was it? No Ceilings. That was always freaking playing.
Yeah. But in our weight room, we were playing some Jeezy, Young Jeezy.
Yep, Jeezy.
Mad Dog had that Young Jeezy on.
Favorite sports hero?
My dad. I put my dad.
Who is it? Who is it? If you didn't get to choose your dad, who would it be?
Who would be my favorite sports hero?
Yeah,
I'm a basketball wise. I was a huge Shaquille O'Neal fan.
That's a great answer. That's me.
Yeah, I love Shaq. Shaq.
Well, I don't remember this answer. 2010, my favorite athlete in 2010. I chose a football player.
I think so.
I don't Vince Young. I don't know.
Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin. I should have known that. Yes.
Good choice.
Michael Irvin.
All right. We'll go ahead and skip a few of these. Favorite video game. Jackson, you picked a classic. Man.
I know this.
Yeah, but I don't know what classic I picked. I don't know if it was a...
It don't exist no more.
Yeah, the NCAA.
Oh, yeah.
That's Darius's. What's yours?
Don't say... I don't know if I put... I couldn't play that back then until later. NBA 2K?
Nah, Super Smash Bros.
I should have guessed. I was thinking like PlayStation or Xbox.
Who was the biggest gamer back in that locker room? Because I just realized Kenny Vaccaro has his own video game company.
Yep. He actually works with a guy that I went to high school with. He plays with him, which is kind of cool.
He has some incredible skills on the sticks.
Yeah, he's good. He's really good. Actually, we trained together in Austin.
On the video game? On Super Smash Bros?
No. I don't think I'm good enough to play with him on Destiny yet. I don't think I'm quite on that level.
Last question. I came to Texas because...
I feel like my answer is possibly long-winded. So, but I feel like I said, like, I came for the family atmosphere. I probably just said I came for the family atmosphere.
That's exactly it. Darius, what about you?
I would think probably they were always on in my house. Dad always had them on where they always wanted me to go. I feel like it has something to do with that. That was the one that was always on in the house. So probably childhood favorite, maybe.
Being from Texas, I want to represent my state. Darius,
and yeah, that too.
You
that
also
too.
Had one extra one I just found. It says, nobody knows I can.
Hey, I can sing in the shower. I can't sing. Y'all don't want me to start singing on this mic. I got a mic right here too. I might start practicing. Y'all,
oh, man.
That's gonna be fourth and five after dark. That's gonna be an R&B session, ladies only.
Yeah, dude. That boy got that R&B voice. He's ready to sing some slow jam.
I do remember that.
On the topic of why you came to Texas, Jackson, I want to know, what are some of your favorite memories from Texas, both on and off the field?
Man, I'll start with off. Off the field, man, I met some quality people in the classrooms, just around campus, in the dorms. Some people that I've stayed friends with since. Some people wanted to be around us just because we were athletes, and some people wanted to get to know us more just because we were interesting. Like, we did more than just sports. Like, yeah, we played football at Texas, but we all had other interests. A lot of us did. And so off the field, I enjoyed the people that I went to school with. I felt like it was a very good vibe, and it was the right choice for me. I mean, take football out of it, and I still would have probably went to Texas if I had the grades to get in. I would have loved to. And on the field, like I said, that family atmosphere. I mean, guys loved Texas. Guys had grown up loving Texas. And for me, I always watched the NFL because my dad played in the NFL. So I watched that. But once I started realizing how much love was with Texas and how much these fans got behind us and supported us, I started to really love it. And we had so many good players on our team, so many guys that went on and played in the next level and are still playing right now and are very successful. It was a good time. I enjoyed it. Even though we had some down years and whatnot, it was still a good time.
Yeah, so you talked about some guys, you know, even talking about some guys that you play with or even still playing now. So during, you know, your time at Texas, and not just Texas, but just period, since you've been playing football, who do you think was probably the best, who's the best team that you ever played against? Who was the best player that you ever played against? And then on the backside of that, tell me who was the best player that you ever played with.
That's a very good question. Very good question. Those Baylor teams were pretty good.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah,
the Baylor team. We went played Baylor my senior year in the Big 12 championship, and they were pretty good. They just had a really, really good offense. They could spread the ball to whoever they had. They had a lot of speed on receiver, and they were a good team. The best player I played against. I only played against one Heisman Trophy winner, if I'm thinking close, and that was Robert Griffin Jr. Or the third, Robert Griffin Jr. or Robert Griffin the third.
RG3.
I played with him. Yeah, RG3. I played with him in the NFL as well. One of the best athletes I think I've ever played with in my life. I remember trying to chase him, running him down at Baylor. And I'm like, oh, I'm gaining on him. Because he's running towards the sideline. And once he turns up and goes straight, he just like took off. I was like, man, that speed. I was like, I'm not catching him. I'm not catching him this time. And yeah, he was He was probably the, it's funny because it's both Baylor. He was probably the best player that I think I played against. And we played against some really good players, really good guys that, are still playing in the NFL right now.
See?
And then my best, oh, go ahead.
No,
go
no,
ahead.
No. I was going to say, both you and Quandre both overlooked the 2011 win over A&M when it came to teams you played. Well, I guess it wouldn't be the best team you ever played, but moments on the field.
You know what? That was a great moment. It's bittersweet for me. That's when I first tore my pec in that game.
Was that it? Okay.
Yeah, I tore my pec in that game, and it was so frustrating. My body felt like, looking back at it as an older guy, it was just hard. It was a quick turnaround. My body was so beat up for some reason that game. I just didn't feel like I played a good game. I was making play, getting pressure, making tackles, but I missed a sack, and that's what caused, like, I hit him at the wrong spot in my pec. I tore my pec. I feel like until we won that game, that was a frustrating game.
So also maybe the strain, the A&M game, they had three first-round offensive linemen on that line, too.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick.
They were good.
Ryan Fitzgerald. Tannehill,
yeah.
Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill. Yeah,
Ryan Tannehill was their quarterback. They had Luke Jokel.
Yeah,
Cedric Obwehi. Who else did they have?
Matthews.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Jake Matthews.
They had a lot of good.
They had some players on the O line. It was a good O line to play against. That's probably the best O line that I've played against. Period. That was a good team though. They were a really good team. Since I'm older, it's easy to look back at like senior year, but that was a good team. That was probably one of the. That's probably the best team I played. I shouldn't give Baylor all that credit.
Yeah. And Darius's other question, how about the player you played with?
The best player I played with? That's a great question too. I played some really good players. I can talk about several players and why they're good at what they do. It's hard to point out who the best was that I played with. Because, you know, me playing next to Alex Okafor had one of the strongest lower bodies that I've ever seen. Like, he just can drive people back. He's a great pass rusher and actually helped me push myself to the next level. I think one of the, as a rusher and a defensive end, I think he's one of the best guys at defensive end that I ever played with. DB wise, I think you got Quandre and Kenny Vaccaro. Kenny's a freak athlete, just unreal. But since he's gotten in the league, he's really got his technique down. He's playing well. He had a great game against the Chiefs. He's unbelievable talented and can play video games, as you see. And then Quandre, probably one of the toughest players that I think I've played with. He doesn't back down from any challenge. He doesn't care. Didn't care how big you are. He calls himself Quandre the Giant because that's his mentality. That's how he thinks when he plays out there. Doesn't matter where they put him on the field, he's going to make something happen. He's so smart football-wise that he's going to make things happen, and he's a great athlete, and he works on it. So I couldn't give you one, but I gave you three, and I know they're all defensive guys, but those who I played closely with.
No, that was great. And on the other side of that, though, unfortunately, you were kind of there for the end of Texas's reign over the state. Wasn't the player's fault, but I want to know, since you were there during the waning days of Mack Brown and sort of the decline, what in your mind went wrong?
In my mind went wrong. That's a good question. I think about that a lot, actually. Just looking back, I think it was a lot of things that we as a whole couldn't really control. Mack Brown had done so well. He was a victim of his own success. If we didn't win 10-plus games, it was considered a failure. It was considered a failure. And so us coming in as freshmen, a lot of the young guys above us that had been to the national championship didn't win. I think losing the national championship really kind of hurt the organization as a whole. Like, it was different compared to what everybody would say. I mean, normally when you lose the national championship, you're like, man, we got to get back there. We got to do this again. And we had a lot of guys transfer. It was just rough. I think things were different than they had been the previous years. And it was nobody's fault. Things were changing. The social media ages was just starting to getting started. To make everybody's locker room the best in the world just started. To make everybody's weight room the best in the world. Make every facility the best in the world just started. It wasn't about tradition anymore within the other college teams. Everybody was trying to get on that wave of technology, newest, greatest gear. And therefore, it was just, I think that's what the change is. That was the change, and we didn't stay up with that because we stick with tradition. That's what Texas does.
You're right. That was when Oregon really took off. Was 2000, you know, they started late 2000s, and then 2010 was their first ever national championship appearance. And they were kind of the well-known guys of flashy everything, right? And then there was the keeping up with the exactly. Joneses and A&M. You're right.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, Jackson, congratulations, first off, on winning the Grey Cup. You know, that's an amazing accomplishment. Not a whole lot of folks can say that, especially here.
Yeah.
So, how would you compare playing in Canada, playing in the CFL, to the American game, and maybe, like, even to the NFL here? How does that, what are some of the differences, or, you know, some things that we may not even, some subtle differences that we may not even realize that goes on in the CFL game that you maybe wouldn't see in the NFL game?
Yeah, I can explain that perfectly. But when it's all said and done, football is football. It's still football. Yeah. There's little things here and there that are different. Well, because we play with 12 players on the field. So it's sometimes weird to think about, like, oh, yeah, make sure all 12 are out there. Like when they're talking, when I first got there, I was like, 12? Oh, yeah, we got 12. So that's the difference. You play at 12 on each side. Normally an extra receiver or an extra DB. Different packages, they'll do like an extra O-lineman or whatnot, or put an extra D-lineman. But, I mean, that's what you get into. Defensively, we have to line up a yard off the ball. So, like, when you're pressing a receiver, or if I'm rushing, I'm a yard off the ball. You can't get right up on a receiver and get right on the ball. So that's different. The field is bigger and wider. So the field dimensions are the same as a soccer field. It's 65 yards wide. Hmm. It's 120. Yep, compared to 52. And then compared to 100 yards long, it's 120 yards long. And then you got 20-yard long end zones. So the end zones are bigger. The goalpost is in the front of the end zone, because if you put the goalpost in the back of the end zone, you make a 30-yard kick, it turns into a 50-yard kick. It makes it way too far. The kicks are all going to be way too long. So that's why they put it in the front.
I always wonder why they were in the front.
Because it's...
So,
yeah,
like,
I
has
always
anybody ever
too.
Run into the goalpost? Like,
that's that was my
that's
thought,
that's something
exactly.
I worry about. Like, yeah, they call
I've seen a ref. I've seen a ref run into it. I died laughing on film. But also,
is he all right?
you tight ends and receivers, bro. Y'all try to
right?
pick.
Yeah, that's
yeah, pick no, I was using as a pick. No, it is smart. We say it's smart, but it's hard because it's like you really have to run around it. It's like a pick and roll. You have to really get around that guy or the goalpost and get back onto on covering the guy. It's the goalpost up there is good, but they can pick you with it. A quarterback can hit it. Actually, in our the semifinals, we won the game. I mean, I think we're going to win anyways, but the quarterback had a guy he was throwing to, and he hit the goalpost. And me not knowing the rule, I thought they could catch it after it hit the goalpost. But they couldn't, so the game was over. Once he hit the goalpost, because they were in scoring position, once he hit the game goalpost, it was over. And when the ball went up in the air, I was like, somebody, we got to catch it. Knock it down. But it was already over, and we ended up winning.
One of the weird things about the Canada game is the wide receiver is getting a head start on the play.
Yeah, we call it a waggle.
What is that? How does that change the game?
It makes it hard for the DBs. I mean, whenever you're having to cover somebody that gets like a flying 40, it's not easy. That's why you have to have a big emphasis on your defensive backs. It does make it hard because these guys are running fast routes. Sometimes you'll see a guy that you're like, man, I swear he's slow. He'll run by your DB. And you're like, what happened? But it's, that's why as a defensive end, like, it's my job to get to the quarterback, make him uncomfortable, get him down. DBs are out there working hard. They got a lot of real estate to cover, a lot of ground to cover. And so we, as our job, we got to get to the quarterback and not allow him to sit back there and pick us apart. Because there's some good quarterbacks in the CFL that will pick you apart, and they have great arms.
I feel like with those waggles, those flying 40 stars, I feel like Tyreek Hill will be unstoppable in the CFL. Like, I just run a go route every time, right? Just let them get ahead of
steam. Yeah, as long as they don't just keep a safety on top of them.
Oh, I mean, boy. He'd open up their run game for you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then our safeties don't get involved in the running as much because we have like a DB that plays like a Sam linebacker that comes down. Mm-hmm. So like if something breaks, they come down, but that's the difference between like in the down south. Safeties kind of flow down, and if we blitz a safety, yeah, they'll get involved, but safeties down south will come down and get involved.
That makes sense.
I got some more Canada questions. Since you're okay, in Winnipeg, cool. I know you grew up in Plano. Hockey's not really a thing down here, but you have the Jets in town. And also, you have ice fishing. Have you ever gone ice fishing? And how much of a NHL fan are you now?
Well, I've always been an NHL fan. I always liked the Dallas Stars. I've always cheered for them.
So when it's Winnipeg versus Dallas, who are you going for? You bringing out the green or you bring out the white?
Dallas, being on my green, Dallas all the way, and they know this. I told them, I said, I'll cheer for the Jets any other time. But when y'all play my Stars, it's on. Like, my Stars are going to get give y'all that work. And me saying that, the Stars went up there one time and lost 1-5. And everybody let me hear it. And everybody let me hear it. But they beat the Jets a couple times, too. I mean, they play I think they play 3 times a year.
So,
or maybe even more.
Also on that, another Canada thing is ice fishing. Have you ever gone ice fishing?
In Canada, no. But I have been ice fishing in the States before.
Really? Where?
Yeah, I went in Idaho at one point. Yeah, it was actually pretty fun. I mean, it's cool because ice fishing is a thing. If you're not right on the spot, you're not going to catch for a while. So you go out there, you better be with people you like because you're going to do a lot of talking.
Just like
hunting.
You're
going to do a lot of sitting on that. Yep. You're going to do a lot of sitting. You're going to be on the ice. It's cold. Especially if you're on a lake out in the open. You've got these tents you can put and they can have heaters. But yeah, it's cold. You got to layer. We drill our own holes because the ice wasn't as thick. In Canada or in Winnipeg, you have to have like an electric drill because it gets so deep. Can't remember how thick they said the ice gets, but even right now, like, it's warm there and the temperature's like 25 degrees.
I can't imagine playing in that type of snow. I've played in snow, but I've never played in Canada snow.
Well, in Winnipeg, it doesn't snow that much. It doesn't snow a lot. It just gets really cold. So it doesn't get the reason why the season finishes in November is because it's not safe to play that late. Like the NFL would. If we played till February, it would be dangerous in late December, early January, and I think even February gets bad.
You wouldn't feel
but
the
I
hits.
Just looked at.
You'd be numb.
Yeah, it'd be terrible, and your hands would go numb fast. And I played in some cold weather up there, but I just looked a couple days ago, and actually everybody sent it to me. It was negative 33 degrees in Celsius, which. I think it's really close in Fahrenheit, so I think it's like negative 25 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now it's 25 degrees minus 12, and they're probably like, oh, I feel so much better. I can understand it because being in Canada, being in Winnipeg, when it gets down to maybe 2 degrees and it goes up to 20s or 30s, you literally are like, oh, man, I can take off my jacket. Or I can take off my coat. I'll put on a jacket. I'm good. This is nice. Because it's all relative. It's crazy. The craziest thing.
Hey, Jackson, what do you think, what do you feel is your greatest accomplishment on the field?
My greatest accomplishment on the field? Today. is the Grey Cup. Winning a championship, man. I wanted to win a championship ever since I started playing football. Middle school, we won championships. But high school, we were pretty average of a team. We would go 500 every year. We'd go to the playoffs. We never played y'all boys, but we lost to y'all's neighbors, Duncanville. I think, no, not in the play. We lost to Cedar Hill in the playoffs. And I think we played them 2 years in a row and lost both. And then, but we just couldn't win. And then in college, I'm thinking, oh, we went to the national championship the year before. We're going to get a national championship. And it's so, and you know how Coach Brown would say, winning is hard. Winning is hard. It's hard to do. And that's what the fun is in. It's in winning. And so for me to go and win the whole thing and be a champion, and for somebody to say, you're a champion, that means the world to me. No, I didn't have the best statistical year that I wanted because I had an injury this year. But we won the championship, and when I played in the championship, I balled out.
So.
So have you looked ahead at all for after football? Do you know what you would like to do? Maybe go in your father's footsteps to become a coach? Or what is the next step for you after football, even though it might not be soon?
You know, I have thought about it. I don't know when I'll be done playing football. I don't know. I don't want to be the one that gets injured and has to stop. I want it to be something where I make the decision and I leave football. But I've gotten really interested in real estate. I actually worked in real estate in Dallas, in commercial real estate. I interned at a Linger property company. So I got to learn commercial real estate a little bit. I was looking to get my real estate license, actually, and do some more like residential real estate. I think I like it. I'm very interested in homes and different homes and different things. And I bought a condo down here in Winnipeg, down in South Austin. Or not Winnipeg, in Austin, in South Austin. That's the thing. I'm interested in it. Austin is a great place to invest in. So I was very interested in it. And also I was interested in going back and getting my MBA. In finance.
I'll tell you what, as a guy who grew up watching guys like you and Darius and Quandre play, hearing y'all talk about what's after football, I understand it's probably weird, but it's weird for me as well. Like, I know as a fan that y'all are people outside the game, but thinking about y'all outside of it like that, like Jackson Jeffcoat, the real estate, commercial real estate guy, like, when I think commercial real estate, I think my dad. I don't think Jackson Jeffcoat, one of the best players to come through Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's different. My dad always said that football comes to an end. He said, don't put all your chips in football. Work your butt off in football and be the best you can be in football. But football's not your life. Football's a jump start. Football's something that will help you later in life, but it's not your life. By the time you're done playing football, if you play a long career, you could be 38. You still, Lord, God willing, have more than half of your life to live. What are you going to do? Just hang out, relax, and do nothing? No. You want to work. We're not people that like to stay still. And so, he always told me that there's more to life than football. Now, he loves coaching. He loves football, but he loves coaching because he's able to teach people. He's always teaching lessons, and therefore, he enjoys coaching.
That's awesome. Last question we got for you, Jackson, and we're going to let you get out of here. Knowing everything that you know now, is there anything that you would do differently? And what would your message be to the high school kids today about what it truly takes to have success and be successful in this game, not just this game. And you touched on it a little bit in the last question, but also in life.
What I would do differently, as far as football wise, playing in the at college, there's not much I would do differently. I think all my experiences have helped me learn and grow as an individual. I think it's helped me grow as a person. And shoot, I've learned so much that I'm going to be able to pass on to my kids, pass on to the younger generation, guys that are younger coming up. And with the high school guys that are coming up, the younger athletes that are coming up, the things I want to say to them is that You have to work hard if you want to get to where you want to go. No, working hard doesn't mean every day hitting the weights and I do upper body every day this week. No, you have to work hard and work smart. You have to be able to take care of your body. Mm-hmm. Your body is important. Your body is your business. So stretching, flexibility, eating well, all important to do. And another thing I want to say is like, be genuine and be loyal. Right now at the moment, or as far as with teams, and I know how people commit and decommit and whatnot. If a coach leaves, I understand if you decommit. But you should never choose a school based off a coach. You should always choose a school based off, man, I could be at this school. I could get a good degree from this school. Yeah, I want to play football and play in the NFL as well. But it needs to have all those check marks. You need to check all those boxes at one school. You can't say, oh, well, this place is going to give me the NFL. It's not a good school. I mean, you want to go to a good school. If you want to do things after sports and whatever, you got to go to a good school too. So that's what I say. Go somewhere for the school, not for the coaches.
Jackson, I know we said that was the last question, but I just realized we went through the entire interview without asking you about your thoughts on the current team and where Tom Herman is and where this team is going. What are your thoughts? Give them to me straight, whether they're good or bad, uh-huh. on the direction of Texas's program right now. And if you're a fan of what's going on, if you have faith in what can be done, or if you think some serious changes need to be made, or if the changes that did need to be made are the correct ones.
You know, I'm always going to be a fan of Texas, and I'm always going to cheer for them. I think they've had some ups and downs this year. Obviously, winning the bowl game against Utah was a big, big win for them, and it's good for them. They need to carry that momentum on to the next season. They need to be able to win these big games and not drop any of these games that are teams that they know they're supposed to beat. They need to beat teams that they are not supposed to beat and win all the games you're supposed to win. I think that's the biggest thing. We played at Texas, and Darius knows this. Everybody is gunning for us. All our friends back home that we're playing against, they wanted to go to Texas. So they're always going to gun for you. People love to see Texas down. And so that's what they need to know. They understand. But I root for them. I want them to do well. I mean, because I think winning a university that you went to do bad, that's your team. Like, that's like wanting a ship to sink and you're riding on it.
I'm not saying if you want them to do bad. I was asking what you think they're doing. So
No. No, I don't want them to do bad. I think they're doing fine. I think they'll get it together. I mean, we had struggles too. I mean, what year is this for Herman? 3?
He's heading into year 4.
Or 2.
That
he's
was
heading
3.
Into year 4, right?
Yeah, he's heading into
year
4.
Yeah, so that was year 3. If he doesn't get it done after 4, then that's when you look. And I think every coach should have that. To be honest, I thought Charlie Strong should get that amount of time and amount of resources and whatnot. I don't run things at Texas. So they made a decision. They did what they wanted to do. I think with Tom Herman, I think that after this year 4, he needs to make something happen as far as win the Big 12 championship. I think that's huge. I think that'd be huge for recruiting as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with him. I don't have a problem with Tom Herman. I don't have a problem with the team. Oscar Giles is still there. And that's my guy. He was my coach. So it's nice to be able to come around and see him as well.
True that. Well, y'all, that was Jackson Jeffcoat, one of the best players of the past decade at Texas, won the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year in 2013. Mm-hmm. A great guy on and off the field. Jackson, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us.
Thanks, man.
Hey, real quick, before y'all go, you wanted me to say something that
Yes.
Exactly. So Darius played some tight end. Darius was a receiver. He ran the good routes. He was a good receiver. But they wanted him to get bigger and play tight end.
I never played tight end in my life.
I know. And you hated it, and you were did not enjoy it. So you had to go against me, and I was a lot bigger than you. So me, I
is this
if you asked Darius,
day of practice? Is this the first day of practice?
Yeah. So you ask anybody about me, I practice hard. They think I practice too hard. So when I see Darius up there, I'm like, yo, if I let this fool block me, what am I gonna look like? He was playing receiver. So I'm like, I probably went harder than normal, even though this is my boy. I just knew that I had to go hard because I would hear about it. So I grabbed him. He's trying to block me on a play and just sling him. And, like, he's not happy with me the whole time. He's not happy with me at all.
I still don't think he's happy with me.
Hey, understand at this time. So by the time I had been sick, like, the whole month of July – so I got cleared like a week before we started camp, and I'm like 205 pounds. So I'm thinking,
yeah,
all right,
you were
there's
definitely.
No way. I'm thinking there's no way they're going to stick me in here at tight end right now, seeing that I'm how light I am right now. And I was
and
wrong. I couldn't have been more wrong.
They moved you so quick to tight end.
So I'm in there in the trenches at about 205 pounds. I've never blocked a lineman in my life. So I'm thinking it's like receiver, you know, where you kind of get your hands up and kind of dance around. So I think it was Jackson first, and then I think it was like Acho, like the next series. I think I got lifted, like I think both feet were off the ground. And then I'm like, yeah. I remember wondering like, what the hell just happened? And so I'm looking around like, okay, all right, I'm looking for some encouragement. And here comes my position coach. Damn.
Yep, that's not like Chambers.
I'm like, coach, yeah, what I, he said, I'm like, coach, what I need to do different? He's like, well, for one, stay on your feet.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like,
you were by far the lightest tight end. By far. I felt bad for you. That wide receiver was your thing. And you ended up going to UNT and playing receiver, correct?
Yeah, I got the UNT after I put on all the weight. I got there, spent the year, had to sit out the year. I got my weight back down. By that time, man, I was just so happy, you know what I'm saying, just to be, you know, back to familiar, you know, surroundings on the football field and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we went on to have some success at UNT, man. I was able to build some relationships that'll last a lifetime. I had a blast at UNT. Of course, it's not, you know, it's not to the level, anywhere close to the level of a Texas. But like you mentioned earlier, talking about all the pressure of, you know, hey, you know, if you didn't win 10 games, the bad season, stuff like that, you know, it seems like there's always a lot of negativity. You know, it wasn't, you don't ever celebrate, you know, your success. In a place like UNT, man, anytime there was a win, Jackson, it was a blast. And I enjoyed. I felt like for a while I might have not been able to see the fun and plan for a while. And I feel like I got that back at UNT. So. But no,
nah,
everything.
We were all happy for you because you're all our boy. Yeah. You're our boy. Yeah. So we wanted you to be happy.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. That's real. But no, like you were saying about, you know, not doing anything differently, things like that. Everything happens for a reason. You know, I wasn't part of, you know, my experience there, my experience at UNT. I mean, part of it helped mold me to be who I am now. I look back now. I realize now how insulated I had been, you know, coming out of high school. It was a brand new world, you know, going to college and things like that. So I've just learned so much over the last 10 years. And, you know, it's funny looking back on things now. You see stuff so differently.
I agree. I wish I had this mindset and this wisdom back then. Things would have been way better. I wouldn't have sweat so many small things.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I had a lot of growing up to do too. So, thankfully, that happened.
Yep, and we got more. Hey, we got more wisdom coming. So,
man, that's just
exactly.
Life.
That's just the beginning, for sure. But no, hey Jackson, thank you so much for joining us, man. You know the folks are gonna love this. Will, you got anything?
No, man, Jackson, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on, and good luck next year. Get another great.
Yeah. Hell yeah, we'll be watching.
Yeah, I need to get that great cup, and I appreciate you guys, man. Yeah, have a good time. I appreciate you letting me talk and kind of give my spiel. So,
no worries.
Thank you, guys.
No worries.
All right, man. You have a good one.
Again, thank you to Jackson Jeffcoat for jumping on. Darius, a little frustrated over there, man. A little frustrated.
Yeah,
I can
tell. I had to relive some nightmares. You know, I thought I put it in my past, and yeah, unfortunately, brought them back up. So I'm gonna
Dude,
go.
At least
I'm
you got go, to that level.
I'm gonna go lift some weights. I'm gonna go lift some weights and stuff my face with peanut butter and try to put some more weight on, like I was doing, man.
But let's go ahead and talk about some of the guys who are coming into Texas, or potentially what Texas is trying to do at a few of the key spots. Wide receivers, one we'll start with, as Texas just offered Savion Williams out of Marshall, Texas. He's 6'4", 205 pounds, has offers from Arkansas, TCU, and Baylor. What are your thoughts on what Savion Williams could potentially bring?
Savion Williams is a guy that I talked about in previous months as one of the sleepers in the state. He ended up in my final rankings in the class of 2020. I had him rated in the top 50 to close it out. Savion's the guy that I actually happen to know some of his old coaches at Marshall, and he's legitimate 6'4", 6'5", 200 pounds. And they tell me he's a kid that consistently runs in the 4-5 range when they used to do testing. He's got some rare ability to be able to get in and out his break, seek his hips for a guy as tall as he is. And he's faster than a guy like Colin Johnson. A guy that I compare him to, a guy that came in last year, if anybody's, we saw a glimpse of him, I believe, in the Rice game, was Kennedy Lewis. Savion and Lewis are the same type of build, you know, 6'4", 6'5", long, tall guys that can run. Savion's got better ability, I think, to make things happen after the catch than Kennedy. He's the guy that I would compare him to. Savion, apparently, he was a former Arkansas commit. He decommitted after all the coaches got fired and everything there. From what I understand, Arkansas is not really in it. This one's going to come down to three schools. That is TCU, SMU, and Texas. And the plan is for Savion to more than likely come in next weekend, the final weekend before National Signing Day 2, and that's when he'll be on campus for his official visit.
Man, can you imagine losing another wide receiver to TCU?
TCU's—they got some guys. They got some guys coming in. Of course, we know about Quentin Johnston. Another guy in their class, Caleb Medford, the guy that I wrote about earlier in the year. Texas ended up not going after him, but I think he's the guy that can end up being big time. So adding those two guys and Savion Williams, that would be a heck of a receiving haul for TCU, no doubt about it.
Right, and they're trying to build off of what they didn't do last year, which is bring in one guy, mid-3-star, and Conright, and then you have Malcolm Kelly, who is just he's a great recruiter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to do something in this class, and especially with Jalen Reagor leaving, Kennedy Snell not there, it's going to be a class that they're going to have some room for Savion Williams in this class, and they're going to that's what they're going to be preaching to Savion Williams. Now, on the Texas side, kind of the same story where there's a lot of room to play if you can get to that level. Where do you think he fits? Is he a guy who he's such a sleeper that he can come in and be a contributor? Or is he a guy who's going to need a few years?
He's a guy that's going to need some time to adjust. One, Marshall's a small town out in East Texas. It's completely different than a place like Austin. Don't know if that's a positive or negative from him. But from what I hear, from what I've been told through the grapevine, Williams was waiting on this Texas offer. It's going to eventually end up happening. He's a guy that's going to be an outside receiver, and in theory, he would be your replacement for Quentin Johnston as that X or Z receiver on the outside, being your deep threat. But yeah, it's going to come down to TCU, SMU, and Texas. Texas is going to get the last shot, so you have to like the odds there. And then another receiver in the class, and Texas, I believe, will take both if both want to commit. The guy that we've talked about has been talked about for months and months now. Another former Arkansas commitment. That's Keontae Ingram's brother, Kevontae Dixon. Kevontae will be on campus this weekend, and I think everybody should be on commitment watch.
Right. I think Kevontae Dixon proved his worth in the state championship. He proved his worth throughout the entire season. He's a guy who makes plays. He might not be as dynamic in one position as his brother is. He might not be as highly rated as his brother is, but he's a guy who is dynamic on the football field enough that you can have success with him at multiple positions on the field, whether that is at wide receiver or cornerback. And that's a kind of a guy that Texas needs right now when they're trying to fill both wide receiver and cornerback in this class after missing on a few guys.
Yeah, and Dixon will be a guy I think is probably going to profile more as an inside guy. So there's room for Texas to take both he and Savion Williams in addition to Troy Marier, who's already on campus as an early enrollee.
Right. Speaking of the cornerback position, Isaiah Dunson did not make it to Texas and instead committed to Miami. So Texas, again, is looking for another guy. And Ennis Rakestraw is one of the names that has been thrown around because, man, he shut down guys like Jackson Smith and Jigba and had a great season at Duncanville. What are your thoughts on Ennis Rakestraw? What have you been hearing about the prospect of him coming to Texas versus, you know, Alabama?
Same thing for Ennis Rakestraw and Savion Williams. From everything I understand, from everything I hear, the kid grew up a Texas fan. He was waiting on a Texas offer. It's a bit of a dream offer for him. At the same time, he's got in-home business going on. He's got attention. He's received attention over these last 4 to 6 weeks that he has never received in his life. I don't fault the kid for taking his visits. He's taking pictures with Nick Saban in his house. I mean, I understand any kid would. But when it comes down to signing time, he's another kid in addition to Savion Williams and Kelvonte Dixon. I do believe that Ennis Rakestraw will be a part of this Texas class. And if he is, I believe he'll be the last defensive back take in the class as a cornerback. This next guy that we're about to mention is a guy that I think is a contingency plan if Rakestraw doesn't fall through. And that guy is Pflugerville Weiss cornerback Edrick Whitley. Who is Edrick Whitley? He's a guy that's starting to get more attention lately. He has some smaller, not Power 5, but G5 offers about 2-3 weeks ago. But he's 6 feet tall. He's a kid with legitimate track speed, a fully automated track time of 10.6 seconds. He could fly, and he's a legitimate 6 foot. So that right there, those are two tools, check mark, size and speed that you look for a corner. I don't know a coach that doesn't believe he can coach a kid up. And on tape, he shows some ball skills. So I think he could be your contingency plan if Rakestraw does end up falling in love somewhere else.
Right, two teams that recently offered him, and he has actually visits set for Miami and Ole Miss. Ole Miss. January 24th, he's going to Miami. January 31st, he's going to Ole Miss. Now, that doesn't mean if Texas really starts to put the pressure on, he's going to still go to Ole Miss over Texas.
Well, he could still go visit Ole Miss, but the thing is, he's a Pflugerville. He's a local kid. He can always make a midweek visit.
Which is what Prince William Mielen is doing since he has two visits. He's like, I can just come to Texas during the week.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So you have those guys coming in at your cornerback position. Now it's the big one. You need a guy who can complement Bijan Robinson. You thought you had that in Mookie Cooper. That didn't work out. Then you thought you had that in why can't I remember?
Ty Jordan.
In Ty Jordan. That didn't work out. Trey Bradford. And Kevontre Bradford, not a bad player. Like he's being pursued by teams like Ohio State. He was pursued by Wisconsin. Now the big name on him is LSU and Texas. So Kevontre Bradford is a guy who is a mid 4-star running back out of Lancaster, for those who are from around there.
Lancaster.
And is a guy who could potentially do some damage at the next level.
Trey Bradford is a take on talent alone, regardless of even if Texas didn't have a guy like Bijan Robinson. He's a legitimate, he's legitimately one of the top 3 or 4 backs in the state, in my opinion. As you mentioned, he was being recruited by Ohio State. He took an official visit up there and everything. And after the visit, the Buckeyes decided to go in another direction. Bradford also visited Wisconsin. I believe somebody ended up committing before him, and that ended up making it so that Wisconsin didn't have room for him. So he's a guy he's a stud. I don't understand because he's got the film, he's got the grades. I've checked even places like Oklahoma State, SMU, TCU. They haven't been after him. He's had a bit of a weird recruitment. So now Texas went by Lancaster today, actually. And from what I understand, Bradford's either going to be on campus either this weekend or next weekend. And I believe that the Longhorns sit in a good spot here just simply based on just the odds because he's running out of options. And, you know, you don't know what's going on with LSU. They've been dropping commits left and right. So who knows? He won't know if they have room for him.
And probably coaches until players. Yeah,
the night before signing day. So I think Texas is in a good spot here just based on what's left. So you're looking at a potentially strong close at these skill positions. I think Texas fans have something to be excited about here.
And what does he bring? He's a guy who has some good height, some good weight. He's at 5'11", sort of 6 foot. Mm-hmm. He looks like he could probably top out around 215.
He's probably in that 195, 205 range in his cut. It's like Bijan. He comes in ready to play.
I think he's more like a Keyonte Ingram type player when he gets to Texas.
Faster than
Ingram.
Did
you see that?
No, Trey, I mean, it got similar body types, but Trey, I remember Trey as a kid that as a freshman and sophomore, he's running on the varsity on the 4x100 meter. He stopped running track last year. He's got breakaway. He's got track speed that Keandre Ingram doesn't have.
Yeah, he does have a little bit more speed. He seems like watching his film, he has some good ball vision when he's carrying, you know, ball carrier vision. I'm using video game terms here. But he seems like a guy who's a slasher, kind of goes, hits the hole and goes. You can use him inside or outside. Very much to me, when I watch Trey Bradford, I see Keyonte Ingram back in high school with maybe a little bit more speed.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. He would be a heck of a late pickup.
Oh, my goodness. That would be a heck of a coup for Texas. You know, I wish it would have been a wide receiver type haul like that at the very end, but coming from what you had last year at this time where Texas struck out on basically every running back and then the one running back they got coming from that to what they have now, the potential they have now in this class, wow. But I think on that note, y'all, we're getting it off there. That has been your 4th and 5 podcast. I've been your host, Will Baizer. You guys can find me on Twitter at WILLBAIZER. And my man, DT, where can we find you?
Hey, y'all can find me on Twitter, DTarrell05. That's 2 R's, 2 L's in Tarrell. Hit me up. I love to interact with you guys.
Any arguments you starting this week?
I'll let y'all start the arguments. I'll just finish them. Ain't no problem. Just let me know.
You guys can find us, our other shows like this, on the Hornscast channel. That's the Hornscast channel on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Google Play. Anywhere you guys can find your podcast, you'll find the Hornscast. On that note, thank you all for listening. We'll see y'all next week. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em.